Andrei Codrescu joins me by phone tonight. He's professor emeritus at Louisiana State University, a poet whose latest book of poetry is titled No Time Like Now, as well as a frequent NPR commentator. Tonight we're going to talk with him about the works of Lafcadio Hearn. The book is titled Japanese Tales of Lafcadio Hearn. I am delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati to talk about this intriguing collection of Japanese fairy tales. They are described as brilliant and strange stories, and I so appreciated your insightful introduction and analysis to them. You describe Hearn as a, quotes, transcultural hybrid writer, and he certainly had an international life, but was often pillar to post, it seems to me. He was born to a Greek mother, Irish father. He lived in Ireland and England before coming to Cincinnati just after the Civil War. So before we talk about the rest of his travels, we are, of course, very interested to know what his time here was like. What did he do? Why did he come? Why did he leave?
Well, he was abandoned by his family in England by his stepfather. He lived rather on the other side of the tracks in London with the beggars and the prostitutes. And at some point, worried about the reputation of the family, his father gave him £5 and said, go see your uncle in Cincinnati. Which at the age of 19, Lafcadio Hearn did, and met his uncle, who handed him $5 and said, well, why don't you fend for yourself?
Yes.
And he again lived in the demi-monde on the other side of the tracks until he met a printer in Cincinnati, an anarchist printer called Henry Watkin. Watkin let him sleep in his shop and educated him, gave him books to read, and he started writing. He always had some interest in literature and some talents, but I don't think he wrote until he started living in Watkin's shop in Cincinnati. And he started by writing a story for the then-failing Cincinnati Inquirer. It was a very vivid story about the butcher houses in town, and it brought the Inquirer from being a failing newspaper to some success and saved the paper. And from that point on, he became quite a celebrated journalist in town, all of which ended rather abruptly when his other life became known to the readers, because he often wrote about the black side of the city, the eccentrics he met and so on. But no one thought he was actually living that life until it became evident. And then the Inquirer fired him. So he left and went to New Orleans, where he became instantly beloved and celebrated.
He goes on to the West Indies at a certain point, and he's well known and read during this time. But he goes on to find his true home in Japan and to, as I understand it, re-render but also write Japanese fairy tales. It's interesting to me that his wife was illiterate, as far as we know, but nevertheless was probably the source of some of these fairy tales. And I would like for you to read to us, if you would, from your introduction, the very end of it, where you reference one of these fairy tales, and then go on to speculate a bit. So if you would, read to us about Mujina.
In Mujina, an old merchant traveling at twilight comes upon a noble woman sobbing by the moat of an ancient castle. Fearing that she intends to drown herself, he attempts to console her by laying a hand lightly on her shoulder and asking the reason she is weeping. She turns and uncovers her face, hidden until then behind her sleeve. The man then sees that she has no eyes or nose or mouth, and he screams and runs away. Desperate for human company, he runs until he sees the lantern of a noodle seller, who inquires about his distress. After telling his story, the merchant looks for compassion in the peddler's face. Hey, was it anything like this she showed you? Cried the soba man, stroking his own face, which therewith became like unto an egg. And simultaneously the light went out. In that mirror, which is almost a joke, the shadow is playful, but the faceless future is painful. The surrealists hovered in Hearn's future shadow, as did the fantasy industry of the virtual.
Thank you. Would you expand on that last thought a bit, the fantasy industry of the virtual? Because you really see a life for him in this century, yes?
Well, yes. At the end of the 19th century, he was a well-known writer and probably as well-known as Mark Twain or Robert Louis Stevenson, but he was forgotten quickly. He was rediscovered by lovers of fairy tales and surrealism in translation, but also in New Orleans, a town that never lost its taste for fantastic literature. And because it is a town of the fantastic, of carnival, and of stories of the dead and voodoo and so on. But in our time, in the 1920s, 1930s, the French surrealists discovered a number of writers that they made part of their canon, people like Lewis Carroll, and among them, Lafcadio Hearn. And he did have some following in translation in France, which is interesting and ironic because Hearn himself was a translator from the French for American publishers and newspapers in New Orleans. So we made a new kind of literature in the 1920s, 1930s, mainly through the French surrealists. I think the fairy tale, the myth, the fantastic story importance, and Hearn, once again, a writer to draw from and read. But it's also, you know, virtuality as a mode of existence really is, in our part of the century, one of the questions we wrestle with, you know, as we have a contest really between virtuality and reality, thanks to video games and computers and so on.
Was there something in particular that drew you to him, to write about him?
I feel some kinship because I was born in Romania, and I lived in Italy and in France, and then came to the United States, and I ended up living in New Orleans, which is absolutely the city of the fantastic in this country. And in New Orleans, Hearn is still remembered as he is in Japan. And I feel like I followed in his footsteps in some way. Of course, different biographies, different centuries. But it is the wanderer in me that I guess was drawn to Hearn.
I thank you so much for reawakening us to Lafcadio Hearn and his Japanese fairy tales. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, my pleasure. My good pleasure. Thank you.
I've been talking with Andre Codrescu about the Japanese fairy tales of Lafcadio Hearn. On June 29th at 10 a.m., the Japan Research Center of Greater Cincinnati and the Hearn Society, USA, will conduct a tour of Hearn-related places in Cincinnati with lunch following at the Cincinnati Art Museum. And you'll find a link to more information about the tour and lunch at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.